It's the Grandstand, Season 6, Episode 11. I'm F. Knowles, this week's host with my boy P. Money in the house.
What's going on? It's race week, people.
This dude, my co-host, he drove 2.5 hours to go pick up a mirror yesterday and then drove 2.5 hours back. And not only was it wasn't just any mirror, it was an IKEA mirror.
It's a sleek ass mirror. It's got LED all around it. It's top of the line. Can't believe it's nowhere to be found in any of the big IKEA stores in Paris. So yeah, I drove 2 hours to Champagne Country, did not have champagne, had a hot dog, meatballs, and came back.
Jeez, dude. Well, God bless you. I can't believe you did that for a mirror, but you know what? Your mom better be thankful. I know she listens to the podcast, so but yeah, man, we're at one of your favorite tracks this weekend and very stoked about always a good time going back to Suzuka.
Oh yeah. I mean, Suzuka is one of those real driver tracks, and yeah, definitely on the top of my track list to go to one day. I've seen it from an airplane once and I got super excited and no one else gave a shit on the flight, but yeah, it was a little bit of a nerding moment, but yeah, super stoked to go back. It's definitely one of those tracks that emphasizes a dominant car. So yeah, Red Bull could be on a tear, but I've got hope as usual as a Ferrari fan.
Yeah, that's a Ferrari fan. That's pretty much all you hold on to these days. And I mean, as a Merc fan, that's kind of all you can hold on to, too.
You got nothing to hold on to anymore.
Yeah, it's not great. But, yeah, man, I mean, just interesting because this week some curious news broke that it was a couple days before we sit down and record this episode. And guess who's been talking to Mr. Toto Wolff?
Yeah, it seems like the Germans
are eyeing
another a German driver, huh?
Yeah, the German speaking folk have been speaking to each other. And, Seb's been in talks with Mercedes and Toto about a possible comeback.
And, yeah, to be clear, Seb, meaning Seb Vettel, 4-time world champion, recently retired.
not Sebastian Loeb, the rally car driver.
Who did tests for a few F1 cars back in the day. But yeah, Seb Vettel, man, I like it. I like that storyline. I don't know how true it is. It seems like Toto's talking to everyone these days, and I feel like he might need some help in figuring his shit out there, because going for Max, going for Seb, I don't know. Seems it's gonna be a tough decision.
I don't know. I mean, keeping the options open. I'm not. I mean, I love Seb. I think Seb's a great guy. But you know what? I shouldn't say this. I'm happy about it because these guys are our generation. So you know what? Power to us.
Yeah. Come out.
The young guys should get a shot. You know what? Actually, fuck that.
Come out of retirement, Seb. I mean, yeah. If they don't want to disrupt the equilibrium at Merck, Seb Vettel's a great choice, honestly. But you know what? If they want to go for someone young, who knows? We'll see. Silly season is just getting started. It's getting sillier by the day. I feel like Kimi Raikkonen's the only driver they haven't talked to yet. So yeah, let's see. I would be excited personally. And I think Lewis came out and said that that would be a great choice for Mercedes. Yeah, but I think Merck now doesn't give a fuck about what Lewis thinks anymore. So he can keep his opinion to himself.
speaking of Merck, another interesting thing that I thought we should quickly address is that George Russell came out this week and said that he backs an automated system for on-track incidents following what happened in Australia. And I mean, sure, I think it could definitely make the sport safer. I think it could have been that you know, he got on the radio immediately. He's like red, because he's sitting in the middle of the track, and that turn is pretty blind. And if you
it's a blind corner,
you go straight into a driver, that could be pretty bad situation.
Yeah, those are some of the biggest crashes in history where drivers lose their lives. So yeah, I mean, F1 could definitely figure something out. That would be great for safety. Could have also
it won
Lewis's eighth title.
Yeah. does this help us?
Very Merc-centric intro here, I feel.
Yeah. A lot of Mercedes. Well, I'm interested to see how that conversation goes, but we've got a race to talk about. Let's talk about some Japanese Grand Prix. Let's roll that intro.
Roll it.
I am stupid. I am stupid. Bring back the fucking V12s.
You're too old to have driven here, really. Shame you wasn't fast enough to get to Formula One.
All the time you have to leave a place.
Fuck them all.
More ladies in the paddock. There's too many dudes in the paddock.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So speaking of the Alonso incident, speaking of that same incident, I do have something I'd like to share with our audience and you.
Ooh.
And that is, I was pretty adamant that Fernando was totally at fault and deserved every part of that penalty that he got last week.
Mm-hmm. I remember.
I now am not so sure. I'm not going to apologize. I'm not going to be a Fernando apologist because we know that that's not how I roll. But what I will say is I don't think he was at fault as much as I previously thought.
And right.
I think there was a little bit of a tactic where I don't think he necessarily brake checked him after watching Jolyn Palmer talk about what happened on track and just watch. I probably rewatched that incident 15 or 20 times just to really understand like what could have happened there. And the more I watch it, the more I think, yes, I think Fernando, when he was having, he reported problems with his throttle.
Yep. True.
And was running into an issue there. I think he does play a little bit of a game, you know, where he might have decelerated a little bit more so than normal just to get to have George back off, you know, have to brake harder. And while I don't think it was as much his fault as it as the penalty. The penalty The penalty was harsher than the incident itself.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it was harsh for
Mercedes because George didn't finish, but it really looked like an incident where George went through dirty air and just lost the back end.
Yeah, I think it's a bit of both. Like I said last time, I thought it was too harsh, but I do think that the execution of his fuckery was off Alonso. Like he did it, he kind of fucked up a little bit and had to go back a gear and go back up a gear, which went against him. So in the end, by doing that, he kind of deserved the penalty, but at the same time, it was not brake checking. Like I said last episode, I refused to call it that because Alonso would not do that. But yeah, it's not like a clear Alonso fault incident, and it's not a Russell error, but glad to see that you're coming back to that side. Okay, interesting.
Can we just talk about what you just said? The execution of his fuckery?
Yeah. You know, F1 loves to talk about executing a race properly. That was not well executed, Alonso. But I like your style, though. Keep doing that. Just, you know, execute it better next time.
Yeah. We need a new segment called The Execution of Fuckery. We'll get what is this company called? Kimoa to sponsor it.
Yeah. We'll have a jingle.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So, yeah, Alonso is, I feel like you're warming up to Alonso, which might be a good thing if he goes to Merck next year. You never know.
Listen, man, I think I've obviously have had my moments of just absolutely having no
respect
or compassion for him. But that said, I he's done an incredible job since he's returned to Aston Martin, and you got to give him credit there. I'm watching the incident. It's a little bit of both. I have to agree with you. I don't think It was as much a brake checking incident as it wasn't a brake checking incident at
all. So was it a Gromo for Russell?
No, because I think the way that these cars are designed, you know, and I'm no engineer, but George also didn't, he broke super late, right? So
yeah, I'm just fucking with you because I was trying to get some points. Because
no, that wasn't a Gromo. Gromo.
I was baiting you into admitting that.
No, taking the fishing reel out, trying to get me on that hook. Not gonna happen. But so just had to clear the air there. But speaking of Fernando and Aston Martin, it's looking like they're bringing a little Red Bull inspired update to the Japanese Grand Prix. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting. It's going to be interesting to see now that teams are going to be bringing in new parts and trying to basically just fill that void, you know,
close that gap. Yeah.
Close that gap. Different way of saying it. Close that hole, but
well, yeah, filling the void seems like a much more philosophical approach to racing.
Now that they're looking to close the gap, it's going to be interesting to see what other teams try to basically mimic what Red Bull has done through the rest of the season.
Yeah, they mentioned the floor and the floor edges were very Red Bull inspired, which should not come as a surprise because they've been poaching a lot of Red Bull engineers, and mainly Dan Fallows, that was on gardening leave for a while, meaning he couldn't work on the Aston, and now he has been working on it. So let's see if his updates start paying off for Aston Martin and they get closer and closer. Regarding the whole Red Bull inspiration for Aston Martin, it seems that Papa Stroll, another rumor right now, which is not really a rumor because I'm sure he did it, is approaching Adrian Newey. Again, it wouldn't be the first time, but trying to keep Alonso next year at Aston Martin, he's trying to get Newey to come along and be part of the project of building the best team in F1, like he called for in Drive to Survive so famously. So let's see. Another silly season storyline. Where is Newey going? I saw a few April Fools saying Adrian Newey signs for Ferrari, and I fell for it. And then I was really disappointed.
I got on a few F1, yeah. F1 April Fools Day memes. I was like, God.
Yeah, that's why I thought the Seb Vettel was bullshit. Yeah.
Yeah. I always forget that it's April 1st on April 1st, and I'm like, I'm going around like, oh, did you hear about this? And everyone's like, dude, you're such a jackass. Like, really? Come on, don't be so gullible. But dude, I will say, though, that I'm looking at a photo of the Aston Martin now. It's a nice-looking car.
Yeah.
It's a nice-looking livery. I got to give it to him. I think it's very sleek. But we'll see. I'm curious to see where they end up because we've got – a team in Ferrari who, you know, your boys in red, the Tifosi, can they keep the momentum going to Japan? I think that's what's on everyone's mind this weekend, at least for me. That's the biggest question mark going into Japan.
Yeah, we got so much hope last weekend, or last race, I should say. And Fred Brasseur seems to think that they can keep the pressure on, which probably doesn't mean going for the win. It probably means sticking with Red Bull, being closer. I would be really happy if Ferrari is clearly the second fastest team and gets a podium. It's a pretty good weekend. Good points. I think this track could be, it's a very different track to what we've had so far this year. This is this track, you can't hide on this track. So if your car doesn't do well here, it's going to be tough for the rest of the year.
Yeah, and I think the other thing too, we need to also remind ourselves, Max had a DNF, you know, so
he's pissed. Yeah,
well, that's the other thing. So I think Ferrari needs to be very encouraged by what they've been able to accomplish. This car is better than last year's car, which is definitely encouraging. But I just, when Max has incidents like this, he tends to take them very personally and kind of just, he'll come out just swinging. He wants to embarrass everyone else, be like, nope, I didn't finish the race, and that's the only reason that Carlos won. And he's gonna demonstrate that this weekend. That's kind of what I think. But I do think also Ferrari shouldn't be worried about that. I think Red Bull have demonstrated some inconsistencies this season versus last season so far. Yeah. That, and maybe it's not complacency, but I think other teams are going to be able to take advantage of these small mistakes that turn into big things.
Yeah. Right? And when Red Bull does slip up, and if they do, Ferrari should be the one picking up the pieces.
Right. Well,
that's my hope. That's my hope. So yes, I'm optimistic for this weekend. If you're a Ferrari fan and you're recently getting into the sport, do not think because we had 1-2 last weekend that means that Ferrari can now fight with Red Bull for the win on every track, because it's realistically, we're not there yet, but we want to be the second fastest team, and meaning we want to be McLaren. That's what's going on for me in my mind. And also, this year is a special year for Ferrari. 10 years since Jules Bianchi passed away at this track as well. So Leclerc will have a tribute helmet. It's his godfather. Just wanted to give a little shout out for that. So it's going to be an emotional weekend. I think drivers are already paying tribute to him. And if you don't know, he was up and coming French driver, part of the Ferrari Junior Academy. And at a time where France did not have any drivers in F1, it was really strange. And he was the one leading that charge. A lot of people consider him as a future world champion at the time. And definitely played a huge role in getting Leclerc into F1 and into the Ferrari family. So, yeah, a little shout out for Jude.
Yeah, man. The helmet's sick. I don't know if you saw it.
I'm looking at it right now, and it's getting a little emotional. But, yeah, Ferrari needs to have a good weekend for Jude and just for Tifosi.
Yeah, for sure, man. Well, speaking of Ferrari, and Carlos Sainz in particular, I'm still just blown away by his performance in Australia, but he has upped his stock. Like his stock price is just going through the roof right now.
It's like Bitcoin, man. It's going up right now. Carlos Sainz.
It's buy in my opinion, and not BYE. It's BUY. So
yeah, Brian, but for Sainz, it's bye-bye Ferrari, and he needs a job right now. Yeah. So.
It's bye-bye, but also bye-bye. And it could be there's a driver who I'm going to keep my eye on this weekend, and that is Checo, because I think what Carlos has done is made himself – he's demonstrated he's not only capable, but I think underrated as a driver. And, you know, Checo right now is just not doing it for them.
Well, yeah, if you look at last weekend, yeah, but he did score 2 P2s before that. So,
no.
Yeah, he's still doing better than the alternatives. Which, if we were only looking at that Red Bull family, aka Yuki and Danny Rick, there would be no questions asked. It'd be Checo for sure. But now that Sainz has that opening, yeah, you're right. There's going to be, like we said in the last episode, there's going to be some decisions. And Horner, like I said last time, is the one who brought it up. So if Sainz keeps putting in those performances, and if he beats Checo, that's going to be a fun storyline. If Sainz can beat Checo on track, that's going to hurt.
Yeah, I was a little harsh on Checo there because, you know, he has finished P2 twice, like you said. But I do think Red Bull is considering all options right now for that second seat.
Oh, yeah.
And especially, like we discussed, like if Ferrari can maintain momentum through the season and not fuck it up like they usually do, I think they're in a very good spot to take constructors, man. They could. There's a world.
I'm not going there. You know, it's not the Ferrari.
There's a world.
It's not the Tifosi who said that. It was Knowles, just for the record. The future Tifosi.
I'm just trying to make you think about it later. You're like, he might have a point.
No. The hope is, I'm keeping that under wraps. But who knows? If he starts performing like he did a couple of years ago, we'll have a shot. But it all depends on how consistent Ferrari is. And it's all about that. Behind Red Bull, so we'll see. For now, I am not getting ahead of myself at all. But all right,
I think Checo's in the hot seat. I think Ferrari.
Speaking of hot seat, did you hear Helmut's ultimatum?
Oh, that's
this is
right.
Big. Helmut gave Danny Rick a 2-race ultimatum. Apparently, if he doesn't perform, he could be out mid season, which would be brutal, savage, but very, very Red Bull like.
That would be the end of his F1 career.
Yeah, that's over. Yeah,
for sure.
Well, then again, still rumors, but Helmut has come out and put pressure publicly on Danny Ric and Yuki in the last couple of weeks. So keep an eye on that savagery.
Yeah, I'm not feeling great for Danny Ric right now, but we'll see. I think I want him to do well. We all want him to do well, but
if he can beat Yuki at his home track, that's a huge start. Get a couple of points.
That'd be a big deal. I think, you know, interestingly enough, though, we're talking kind of the pecking order right now as well. We're at a point, too, where I think we can definitively say Ferrari's the second best team. And I think we could also say McLaren is the third best team.
Yeah.
And, you know, great result for them. They've had some great results, too, so far this season. And arguably, depending on how Ferrari does, I think McLaren is in a very good position to fuck up Ferrari's year.
Yeah, P2 could be a very good fight. Yeah, P2 could be a very, very good fight. You're right. That's why I say, like, you're talking about Ferrari taking it to Red Bull. I'm looking over my shoulder saying, like, oh, shit, what's McLaren bringing to the fight? So they've got two great drivers. They've got great updates coming up, too. So if they can both get closer to Red Bull, then we're going to have some fun races coming up. But, yeah, McLaren did really well last year here, double podium, and Piastri for his first time going to Suzuka last year was exceptional, I thought. So yeah, little wary of McLaren this weekend because they could put in a big performance too.
Well, that's the other thing. I mean, right now there's only 4 points separating Red Bull and Ferrari in constructors. We'll see how that. It is tight, but there's 38 points separating Ferrari and McLaren at the moment. If Ferrari doesn't have a good weekend, McLaren can capitalize on that. And I think that's something we definitely want to keep our eye on for sure. But this brings me to,
yeah, I'm looking down the order there.
Yeah. Now it's like, okay, this brings me to arguably the fourth best team, who is Mercedes right now.
Keyword being arguably. Yes.
Arguably. Who do you think, and these are two wildly different ends of a spectrum, but
I like a spectrum.
Yeah. Well, we both might be on it. We're not sure.
Definitely on it. Stats boy here. Of course I'm on it.
what I'm curious to see, who needs a better weekend, Mercedes or Alpine? One team has points and another team has 0 points.
Yeah, looking at the table, Alpine is clearly feeling the heat right now. But the fact that we're comparing Alpine to Mercedes is saying a lot about how bad of a year Mercedes is having. So, ooh, I think they both need it. And interestingly enough, they had a good battle last year in the rain, those two teams. Alpine did really well here. Yeah, I think Mercedes has some extenuating circumstances, a few crashes, a few DNFs. Alpine clearly needs something. Like, if Alpine doesn't score now, that would be race number 4 of the year with no points. And that's just unacceptable, if you ask me. So, yeah, I would say Alpine, but I'm also saying Merck, be careful because Aston Martin's only a point behind. And we know that Aston Martin's a one driver team. So, so that's also show. Yeah. So it's going to be exciting. Merck versus Aston Martin might be good throughout the season.
It's only a one driver team. Yeah. That's a really good point though. Lance put in a result.
Okay. Now we've a little bit of empathy for Lance. Yeah.
Some, but yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, Merck is getting beat by Aston Martin right now. Not a good look, man.
Yeah, I love how we always give Lance props, but ultimately we try to defend him as best as we can. But throughout a season, he's just not there, right? So,
yeah, we try.
Yeah, but job security for life. So hey, good for you.
Well, who knows? Daddy might not be there when it all comes down. That's actually why he wants to keep Fernando so bad. He's like, my son's not good enough.
Yeah, and also rumors were that by trying to get Newey, you're going back to that storyline, silly storyline, is that he might be trying to poach Max Verstappen who's also talking to Merck. So the whole silliness is going throughout these top five teams.
Do not see that happening.
No, me neither. But
absolutely not. But I agree with you. I think Alpine. I think Mercedes just needs to have a quiet weekend where they score points. They finish above Aston Martin. I don't think they're on the level with McLaren or Ferrari right now, personally. Yeah.
At this point, what's a good result for you for Merck this weekend?
They could get P5 and 6.
Oh yeah. That means they would beat one of a couple of those cars ahead of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If they can do like a P5 and a P7, I think they'd be they I know it's how times have changed.
That might have been like their worst result like back in the day when they were winning.
I mean, George could I hate to say this. I love you, Lewis. I just don't. He's not there, man. Like, he just seems checked out. And I want to see him on the podium. I just don't. He's getting frustrated with the car in ways that that George might not be as publicly.
Yeah, and he's experimenting with setup again, like he did back in 22. Remember that? So that's never a good sign.
Never
all over the place. But P5 and P7.
Well, another dude who I'm feeling bad for too, we have to address it, is the compatriot Logan Sargeant, who wasn't given his car back for this upcoming Japanese Grand Prix, but was given Alex Albon's repaired chassis and won't have a new car until Miami. If this dude, somebody, I mean, wow. You got to feel bad for the guy, but also to some extent, it's like, maybe this will light a fire under your ass, you know, like maybe we'll see you start to close that gap between you and Alex.
Let's fucking hope so, man, because that is not his fault at all. Clearly it shows. We talked about it last episode too, that it could be a possibility, and kind of sad to see that it is, because he doesn't deserve that. I mean, you need every chance, you need everything to go right for you to score points in this sport. And that's not going to help him. And he's always going to have that little doubt, like, oh, is it me? Is it the chassis? Does Alex have a better car than me? And then he's going to start psyching stuff out. But hopefully not. Hopefully he'll have that American let's go for it attitude and come out swinging. That's the only thing he can do. There is, you know, speaking of silly season, there's one more thing that I hope will not happen this year, but I just want to put it out there for you, because, you know, it's been rough for Logan Sargeant, but we know that Merck wants to test Kimi Antonelli right before making a decision. I just hope they don't take over and place him for a few races and be like, hey, Williams, we'll throw a bit of cash at you. Take Sargeant out and put Antonelli in there for a few races. That would destroy his career at that point.
Oh, his career would be over and he may never mentally recover.
No, I don't think so. But hey, I believe in you, Logan.
Yeah, come on, Logan.
Get some points. Get a point this weekend. That'd be amazing.
Yeah, if he finishes in the points and in finishes above Alex this weekend on using Alex's repaired chassis, I think that would be a huge weekend for him. So, fingers crossed if that happens. I'm rooting for him, because this might be one of the most brutal in team decisions. Like, this is some Red Bull savagery shit.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, maybe somewhere along the way, like, Helmut Marko's like, well, Alex is still sort of a Red Bull driver, so therefore, we need you to do this for us.
Oh my God!
Yeah. Even though Alex was the one who broke the car. But, oh man, rooting for the guy, but we've got a championship of our own, my friend, and I am leading the charge
comfortably, if I may say.
I don't feel comfortable with the lead. It's a 22-point lead, 77 to 55 points, and I believe it's my turn to go first with our predictions for race weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Which is never, you're never in the advantage when you go first for the championship.
Yeah,
never. But I'm going Max on pole, because he's gonna be driving like an absolute angry Dutchman.
Yep.
I think he wins the race. I just think this track also is it definitely plays to the Red Bull right now more so than any other car. Now, I don't think Checo is on the podium.
Wow.
I think we see another Ferrari 2-3. So, yeah.
Look at Knowles.
Another Ferrari 2-3.
Future Tifosi right here, man. You've been repping Ferraris.
I'm just practicing.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah. I'm signing Ferrari caps before I'm on the team, you know? That's what I'm doing. I'm going to go I think Charles too, because it is the 10 year of Jules passing. I think Charles puts in a strong performance. I think Carlos is P3. I think Checo is P4, and I'm going Lando P5.
Ooh.
And for the Gromo, I'm going Yuki, hometown boy.
Oh, man, this is a savage episode right here. Ooh. All right. Well, yes, never easy to go first, but also I got to start playing strategic. Anyway, this is a track made for Red Bull and Verstappen. So pole and win. I think Leclerc gets a P2, strong driver here. I think Perez will get a podium. Okay. Double podium for Red Bull here. I think Norris gets a P4 and Sainz P5.
Okay. I like that.
I'm going to give the Gromo to Russell. I'm just going to keep playing that card for a while.
2 weeks in a row. Oh, man.
2 weeks.
it wasn't a Gromo. Just to be clear, he didn't do a Gromo last race.
No. But yeah, you throw that card out enough. Maybe one day.
I don't know when the last time one of us got a Gromo was.
No, I don't. I think it was not even last year. It was 2021. No,
maybe like 3 years ago. But man, come on, Yuki, do it for us. I'm excited for this race. Times are always, whenever they're on that part, yeah, that side of the world, it's never great for us here in the States. And it's not as difficult for you guys in Europe, though.
Yeah, last race I was up at 5 a.m., which was a little rough here. And this one's at 7 a.m., so it's fine. Just means I won't be going out on Saturday night, which is fine because I'd rather watch F1 than have a social life. So.
I was actually telling someone about how we were shout out to our friends Jeremy and Britton, who are in town from New York, and they listen to the podcast. So
don't do it. If you're here trying to move out to LA, don't do it.
I was telling Jeremy about how you watch races and you don't watch races with other people.
Yeah. 100%. Stand by. Remember when we said I might be on the spectrum?
Do you think you're an engineer? Fucking screens.
Don't tell me I'm not.
But dude, it's good. I'm doing this episode, getting me a little amped for Suzuka. Always a great track, classic one. We missed it for a few years, but now we're back consecutively post COVID. But until the next episode, make sure to follow us at the Grandstand F1 on the socials and give us a follow anywhere podcasts are available. For my boy P Money, it's F Knowles. We'll see you after Suzuka.
Sayonara.
Okay.